This is Dennis Michelson. Welcome to the Data Lab. This is where all of the fantasy football statistical work gets done to hopefully make you more of a winning player this season. Joining me as he does in the Data Lab here on For Frequency's Sake, as he does each and every week, it's the Professor John Bush. John, welcome back.
Hey, Dennis, I'm here ready to rock and roll and whatever we need to do to crush this preseason.
Well, John, in fantasy football, there are a lot of situations that go into determining who is the best play on a given week. But sometimes you can take from this data to find out who is the better player to draft in the new season, or the better player in Dynasty who to maybe trade for because he's about to have a big season or will have a good matchup for the playoff series. But when it comes to different topics in fantasy football, whether it's consistency, players are never consistent, or it comes to strength of schedule, you can't judge strength of schedule. There's so many naysayers out there that I just don't know if they don't understand the data or if they're too lazy to attack the data or what it is, but strength of schedule is an area in fantasy football where you can really exploit the data for some great gains.
And the way that I do it is early in 2022, I'll be using last year's data because that's all we have. But about 2 or 3 weeks in, I will actually revamp everything and try to bias what I think about for the rest of the 2022 with the newer data. I did a study a couple years ago, and there was I asked the question, did the first 2 or 3 weeks, how did that compare to the year before? And it was probably closer than many might think, but there were still changes. So I realized that there was some different ranges of outcomes, and you have to be a little nimble, and you can't be just, you know, wearing concrete shoes and stuck on last year. You've got to be flexible enough to see what's happening this year. And I think everybody can agree with that, but early in the season, we've got to figure something out. And I think if you're streaming, especially defenses, and I use the, you know, barbell approach for drafting tight ends, and where if I don't get the early 1 or 2 or 3, then I'm going, you know, 2 or 3 together and stream late. And I do the quarterbacks the same way. And to me, the strength of schedule allows me to kind of at least have that as a tiebreaker or a situation where I can put two nice streaming tight ends, quarterbacks, or defenses together and, you know, try to make a season out of it.
One of the mistakes that I think people make when it comes to looking at strength of schedule is there's another factor that if it's not handled, it can actually skew the data. It's like not only how good is your defense when it comes into the strength of schedule, but how good of fantasy football producers did you play over that course of the season? So sometimes I think when people look at the big changes in strength of schedule numbers, they equate it to, oh my goodness, there's free agency in the NFL and there's so many defensive changes. Yes, that's one part of it. But the other part that I've always had a hard time figuring how to put a numerical value to and how to figure it out is the fact that every year the strength of schedule in the NFL, in other words, if you have a successful season the year before, the schedule makers give you a tougher schedule the following year. And then there are some changes within divisions and stuff like that that will make for a tougher schedule. But sometimes what makes a tougher schedule as far as wins and losses for real NFL isn't what goes into determining a strength of schedule for fantasy points. So you might have a good defense that doesn't give up a lot of points in real football, but they might give away a lot of yardage. We saw that with the New England Patriots last year, where scoring-wise, they held teams down, but rushing-wise, they gave up a lot of fantasy points to running backs. So there's a lot of things that go on in strength of schedule. And Professor, sometimes it's hard to understand why the changes are happening. And the best we could do is just apply the changes as they occur and what we see from one year to the next.
Yeah, I've got some ideas to address that, Dennis. I just hadn't had the time to do it, and I'm not going to, since I want to keep some in-house stuff for you and I, and then we can decide if we, hey, especially for daily fantasy sports, there's so much money out there. And I'm just telling our listeners, and Dennis and I know I've told him this, and we've had this discussion because we come from the racetrack. Sometimes knowledge is kept from the masses, right? If the hot dog man knows it, it's not worth anything. But if the hot dog man doesn't know it, then probably you don't know it. That's because the barn at the racetrack is quiet. They've got a hot new horse that they claimed or whatever, trying a new surface or whatever. And all of a sudden, everybody's surprised. And I think a lot of that is can be out there in the NFL. There are surprises, and people have ways to look at that that are really not public yet. And I've got some ideas to get leverage.
Yeah,
Maybe next year I'll apply those. But I think there is at least one big approach to look at, let's call it understanding schedules in a different way than I think people, look at just yardage or wins and losses. I think there's some other stuff that we can apply that may not be apparent, and I don't know when I'll get to that, but I've got some preliminary data. I would even be saying this that is suggestive that I've got some, leverage worth exploring. And that's all I'll say about that. I'm just saying, great question as usual. Question first, then we'll do the research. And I've had this question before, and I've already done some initial research, and it just told me I needed to do some more.
that is exactly it. And oh my goodness, your analogy of talking about looking at the board at the racetrack.
Oh,
I let one get away, and somewhere up in heaven, my dad is cursing me out for this
yeah.
one, because Hamletonian Day last week, there was a horse that I just was paying attention to because it had a cool name. Cool Papa Bell was the
Ooh.
name of the horse, of course, named after the famous Negro League baseball player, who was so fast that Satchel Paige said that when he turned off the lights, he was in under the covers and tucked in before the light went out.
That's
And
great.
so I was watching the board for Cool Papa Bell on the Daily Racing Forums app, and he was 40-1 on the morning line. And early in the betting, he was all the way down to 12-1. So there was some early hot money that went on Cool Papa Bell. And the old adage, the old wives' tale, if you will, at horse race tracks is early money is the ownership putting the money on before they go out and get the horse ready. So they're pounding the money early if they're making a bet because they've got busy things to do to get the horse to the track. So maybe it was the trainer, maybe it was the owner, maybe it was the driver that was putting the money on, and behind the scenes through his buddies. And that was what brought Cool Papa Bell down, and I'm watching this and I'm going, boy, that's a real different odds. He's getting some early money. I should put some money on him, but I don't have a DRF account. And I was like, oh, I'll start one up. Ah, no, I'll just watch this race. He went off and won at 50-1. So the odds went back up, but it was that early money tip was what my dad always told me to look for. But when it comes to strength of schedule, getting back to fantasy football, last time I did a study on how much this changes from one year to the next. When I looked at it, there were about 20 teams every year that were fairly close. In other words, close enough that using last year's data was very accurate. There were six teams that got better, and there were six teams that got worse as far as giving up fantasy football points, if you look at the general terms. So that was just a general at each position kind of how things would end up. So using last year's data to kind of forecast ahead, it's probably going to be fairly reliable. And then, like you said, be ready to adapt and make those changes after the first few weeks of the year.
And let me say, that study I mentioned, it's funny you said that, because I don't think you and I have talked about this. My study, Dennis, and you're going like this, I actually looked at the extremes, highs and lows, and I found the ones in the middle really didn't make a difference. It was the extremes that were tending to hold much better. So that's what I looked at. If they were really tough last year as a D, there tended to be a holdover to the next year. In other words, whatever worked last year still had some vibes that extended. Players, coaches. I mean, you know, if you're an owner, you're not getting rid of what worked last year. I mean, 2 or 3 years it can degrade, but that's what I was finding. So it's very interesting that you would bring that study, but I found the extremes were telling me something more than the middle. And that's very interesting that you brought that up. Yeah, I found the same thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The 20 teams that were staying the same for the most part, they were either really good defensive teams or really bad defensive teams, and they didn't change much. But some of the guys from the middle moved up or they moved down. But you're right. Most of those teams that were super elite defensive, I mean, look at the defenses we have in the league as far as real football. And every year, it seems the Baltimore Ravens are good. The New England Patriots are good. The Miami Dolphins are good. These are teams that usually, year in, year out, have sound defensive schemes because they're well-coached and that carries on from one year to the next, even if there is player turnover. And when it comes to fantasy football points, it's a little bit different of what we're tracking than real football defenses. But similarly, mm-hmm. the same changes or the same no change is mm-hmm. likely to happen. So, no, great data there, Professor. And I can't wait to see the articles that are coming. Tell folks a little bit about the data that they can expect and how they might put this to use.
Okay, so what I've got going now, and I've already made the video lessons for, and I'm just doing four teams at a time because you'll get tired of hearing me groan on and pontificate. So I break it apart so you can, you know, take a break, pop a top, and come back and listen. So it blocks of four over 18 weeks. So you can see kind of an overall. And then I've also got positional. And instead of numbers this year, I did the numbers last year. I thought, well, since we're starting over with our new website, scienceoffantasyfootball.com, you know, we used to be at Fake Pigskin, RIP. I went and just annotated the extremes, you know, so I said very tough, very easy, and then above average tough, below average, you know, or actually below average tough and above average easy. So I kind of broke the numbers into four parts of the pie, and then I used that to track each team's schedule. And so instead of a number, there's a annotation is, and so I use colors. So red is tough and green is, you know, go is good, is easy. So they can look at that data. And then I make some comments, especially for week one. I like in my drafting, you asked me to, how do I use this? If I'm streaming tight ends or quarterbacks, okay, I use this data to kind of pair them together. But really, a lot of what I do is defenses. I play in some redraft leagues that need defenses. So I just look at the week, early part of the season, you know, can I draft a team that will hold for a couple weeks? And I'm drafting Cleveland. They're playing Carolina. And I don't know who they have second week, but I think they're good for 2 weeks. And then I may flip somewhere else, but I will circle back because they have another block of goodness. So what I do is look for good runs and try to, you know, organize my defenses. And so if I have a deep bench, I know this is blasphemy, I might actually hoard a second defense, especially if there's a bye or coming up, and then I don't have to worry about it anymore. I mean, I would love to just put it on automatic, even, you know, stream early and then find a good one and stay. Sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't. So definitely use them for defenses. And I also use, and you can look at my data, I'm actually going to have the weekly annotation, and you can look. And I also did a kind of a bar graph, and I just colorized the bars, the higher, the easier, so you can kind of look at the landscape and just kind of get a sense. And then I did a trend line above or below the average, and you can kind of see the overall projected trend line. So each team has, you know, a lot of information in the table and then a little bit less if it's too much for you. Just look at the trend line and that'll kind of tell you how things are going. And the last thing is this data, this weekly data I use for game scripts in season, setting my lineups, and daily fantasy sports. In other words, do I jump on that team? Is there a favorable situation? And it goes with Dennis's play them both routine. If the team's running backs figure to have a walkover game to where the defense is just going to flip over and give them everything, then you want to play Elliott and Pollard kind of thing, or you want to play Williams and Gordon. You know, play them in your daily fantasy or play them on your team. So we can get Dennis's play them both strategy worked into the strength of schedule.
And that's very important, is sometimes these little second level schemes and strategies also go well when you pair them with looking at strength of schedule data to really know when to activate some of these specialty little secret strategies that you might not even think of. And even more so, people continue to tell you are dumb strategies. And whenever somebody tells me something is a dumb strategy in fantasy football, it tells me two things, Professor. They haven't looked at it, and they're not willing to think out of the box. And if you're not willing to think out of the box in fantasy football, you're just going to be an average fantasy football player. So head on over to scienceoffantasyfootball.com. Take a look at all of the science of fantasy football strength of schedule data from the professor. You can also see some articles that I have over there. And, of course, come on back next week for another edition of the Data Lab here on 4Frequency. Say, great job as always, Professor.
It's coming, so jump in. Don't be a cork on the water just floating around. You want to know, be the shark. Tear up your league. That's what we want to help you do. So good luck, folks, and get to work.